Morning choir.
Well, good morning. And welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and as always, it is my pleasure and joy to be with you for this morning, that we can gather in God's house, that we can have this time together and worship our Lord. And I have some things to share with you. Is that shocking to any of you? Is that a shock at this point? I don't think so. But I have a few upcoming events that I just want to make you aware of. The first is on October 7th, we have our church bonfire and hayride. We've done this the last few years. The Van Hooties graciously welcome us to their farm over at 32 Mile in Walcott. And it's just a fun evening. We do a hot dog roast. We have s'more supplies. There's a hayride usually. The kids get lost in the woods. It's a wonderful time. But we do have fun out there. And if you want to join us, there's a sign-up sheet just so they can make sure they have enough supplies. And we'd love to have you join us. That is October 7th. We also have on October 8th our second annual Blessing of the Pets service. We did this last year, and it was a fun time. We do it out on the lawn behind the church right near the children's garden. We invite you to bring those furry or scaly or feathered friends, whatever type of friend you got, bring them along. And we have a service. We do some singing. We hear some scripture, and we offer a blessing for all those pets. So if you can join us, that will be October 8th at 1 p.m. Our Yahas are also planning their next gathering. It's going to be October 13th from 2 to 4. They're going to have a game night, or a game afternoon, I guess that would be, down in the fellowship hall. They say bring your favorite board game or card game and join them for some refreshments and just a time of fellowship on October 13th. And then our scams presentation. We've been talking about this for a few weeks, but I want to make sure everyone's aware. If you signed up, they actually had to shift the date. It's going to be October 21st. It was originally the 7th. It's been moved to the 21st because of schedules. But that will be the 21st here at the in the fellowship hall. They'll be serving breakfast, and then have the presentation from our the Macomb County Prosecutor, the CETO, about the various types of scams that are at work, at play in our world today. So you're welcome to join them for that on the 21st. And my last announcement to share, back by popular demand, because I've had people asking, we're going to have our noisy offering on October 29th. So if you've been collecting those coins, if you got your big jar of coins sitting at home, plan to bring it in to us on the 29th. The kids will help with their buckets, bring that around. We'll collect that offering, and as always, we'll be using that to go towards our Compassion Youth sponsorship and another mission that the youth are going to be deciding on here for us in the coming days. But that will be October 29th during worship. Those are all the ones that I have. Did I miss anything? I don't think anyone told me any more this morning. Is that it? I think we're good. Well, that's the activities we have. Now we get to do what we really come here to do, and that is worship our Lord. And I'm thankful to be with you, thankful we have this time, and I'm going to invite you to start out with me by joining our voices together for hymn number 732, Come We That Love the Lord. Will you please stand and sing with me hymn number 732?
Oh,
Will you pray with me? Lord, who lifts us high, reside in our hearts today, we pray. Help us to listen closely for your word to us. Remind us that you are always with us throughout all of our lives. Give us confidence in your presence so that we may go into your world ready to witness to your love through our works and our deeds. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today comes to us from the Psalms. We're going to hear Psalm 145, verses 1 through 8. The greatness and the goodness of God. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall extol your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. They will recount the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They will proclaim the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And this ends our first reading for this morning. And at this time, I'm glad to welcome our choir as they're going to be singing for us this morning. I invite you to hear as they sing Sanctuary. Thank you, gentlemen. That was wonderful. It was not quite 8 years ago that a gathering took place on a chilly December afternoon in Lambertville, Michigan. And it was on that day that I had the distinct honor and privilege of marrying Justin Distelrath and Rachel Zimmerman. We had a wonderful wedding ceremony that day. And today I'm grateful to be a part of the next part of another important event in the Distelrath family's lives, as I'm going to welcome them forward and we're going to baptize their daughter. So will you guys please join me up front for this time together? In just a moment, I'm going to have a few questions for the proud parents. But church, you have your part to play in this as well. So when the time comes, your liturgy, the words for you, will be on the screens as we go through this baptism together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. So on behalf of Christ's church, I ask those who present this child today these questions. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will. Not quite sure about this. I think she sees the strange guy standing up here and she's worried what I'm going to do. We're going to be all right, I promise. All right? Can I ask these guys some questions too? All right. Well, to all of us gathered here today, I ask, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Hey, look. Hey, look what we got. Look. Look what we got. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin, to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What do you think? You want to come see me for a second? You come see me for 1 second? No? I know. Mom's right there. Mom and Dad are right there. Do you want to stay with Mom? I know. I'm sorry. I'm a scary guy. I'm so scary. I'm sorry. We're going to be fine, right? We got it. All right. Look, Marjorie's here too. We're all set? Yeah. Got your sister with you? All right. So I ask, what name is given this child? Hazel Jane Distelrath. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. I'm sorry. Do you want this, Hazel? Look, that's for you to take. Do you want it? Maybe I'll let Marjorie hold it for you. Church, will you welcome with me our newest baptized member, Hazel Jane Distelrath? There you go. And these are just a small gift from us. It's the certificate. You want to take those for your sister? You want to take them? It's a blanket for her to have and her certificate there. There you go, Marjorie. Thank you so much for coming up and seeing me, Hazel. You guys may be seated. I guess I mentioned this was Rachel and Justin Distelrath standing with me, and they have their other friends and family that are with them today. Will you welcome them as well with me, church? And this time I'd be glad to welcome any of the other children or students or youth who'd like to join me on the steps for our time with children. Do you want to go get Marjorie? Go get Marjorie and tell her she can come up with you too. Go and sit down. Come on up, girls. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing this morning? Good? All right, let's try that one more time, because I only heard one good out of that. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
There we go. We're doing good. It's a good day. We get to be together. We get to be in church. It's a good morning. And we just got to celebrate a special moment for the Distelrath family, for little Hazel. That was fun. We got to have a baptism for her. And it kind of got me thinking, because that's a special event that happens in our lives, when we get to have our day we get baptism. But today there's also another special event that's actually happening in my family's life. It's a special day. Can you someone tell us what's the special day today? It's Everett's birthday! Ready? We gotta sing to him. He's in the sound booth. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Everett. Happy birthday to you. I was a little worried when he was in the sound booth that he was going to mute my mic so I couldn't make that announcement this morning. But he's back there doing a good job. So, but those, it just got me thinking that those special events we have, a baptism, a birthday, all those other special events, those things that occur in our lives, it kind of got me thinking about one other important thing about those days. That we're all here, we all get to celebrate and do these fun things together, but who else is here with us when we celebrate those events? Who's with us at all times? Jesus! Jesus is here! And I think it makes Jesus so happy to see us celebrating those things, to certainly see another one of his beautiful children baptized, to celebrate a birthday with a fine young man. We get to celebrate those things. And I think that makes God happy. That makes Jesus happy to celebrate those things with us. And so I just wanted you guys to remember that. When you guys have those joyous events in your family or with friends, whether it's at a school event, at a sporting event, at a band or choir concert, when you have those things that we celebrate and we're happy about, just remember that Jesus is with you guys during those times, that Jesus is happy. He's clapping along. He's singing happy birthday along. He's saying those words of the prayer when we're praying over our baptism. Jesus is here with us, and Jesus celebrates all those good things with us, those good things that happen in our lives. And I think that's just a wonderful thing to celebrate, knowing that God's love is with us. It follows us through all those times of our lives. So I want you guys to remember that, all right? Remember that Jesus is with you for those times. And I know Miss Margie has some fun planned for you back there in Odyssey, so I'm going to let you go back with her. But before you go, let's say a quick word of prayer. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the little children in our midst, for the little ones that we can promise to you, that we can baptize and celebrate, for the ones that are a little older, that we celebrate another trip around the sun, that we celebrate their birthday. We are thankful for each and every one of these boys and girls that are in our midst, that we can continue to share your light and share your love with them, because we know you're here with us. We know you are celebrating with us during these times. So remind these boys and girls of that. Remind them that you are with them during those joyous times in life. Remind them that you're there even when there's days that are not so good. There's days of sadness, that you're there with them, Jesus, because we know how much you love us. And we know that, we hope you know that we love you too. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, guys, you're welcome to head back with Miss Margie to Odyssey, and we'll see you after church, all right? Thanks for coming up. Hazel, if it makes you feel any better, when I grabbed Eliza's hand, she said, "Your hands are cold." Must have been what she didn't like. We do have a reason to celebrate here today. A couple of the reasons I just highlighted. And there are other things, other joys we've celebrated throughout this week, as well as those needs and those concerns in our lives. And so we take this time, we take this moment each Sunday to lift those before our God. And I have a couple that I wanted to highlight for us this week. First being Cheryl Bittner. We were saying a prayer for her. She had to go in for a hernia surgery this week, and that surgery went well. They were able to do what they needed. She was heading home a little bit earlier this week, and it was just a little sore, but she was happy to have it done. So she wanted to say thank you for all those prayers and hopes to be back with us soon. And then just yesterday, we had a slight mishap down in the lobby in the entranceway. We had a couple of our ladies who had a little tumble. Linda is here with us today. Linda's was one of those who fell, and she's a little sore and banged up. And then also Anna Bonanni fell, and she actually hit her face a little bit and had to be transported to the hospital. They found all the x-rays and tests came back negative. There was no damage done, other than they did find a screw that's loose in her hip that was replaced. So she's just feeling a little banged up today, and just ask for prayers for healing for both Anna and for Linda here. But those were the ones that I was made aware of before service. If you have other joys or concerns to share, Nathan has a microphone here, and we can bring that out to you. Is there anyone who has a joy or concern?
Yeah, I know Pastor has mentioned as many times this church functions on a lot of different programs, fish dinners. I can go on and on about that. But one of the ones that I'm always impressed with is his table on Tuesday nights. That's been going on for a long time, and that, you know, a lot of people put a lot of work in. And I just want to acknowledge one person in particular. It's Ed Buckner. He's sitting in that last row.
Mr. Buckner.
Yeah. He can't really hear it. He probably can't hear me. Can you hear me, Ed? See? He can't hear me. Anyhow, this Tuesday, his job really has been over the years to deliver to homes to people who can't get out to get food, to get their dinners or whatever. And he's been doing this for many, many years by himself. And Tuesday's his last day. And I just wanted to personally acknowledge that. And hopefully the church can acknowledge it also, maybe after a fellowship, etc. But thanks a lot, Ed.
We do offer our thanks to Ed. Thank you for that, Dale. It's been 13 years that Ed has been delivering those meals every Tuesday night. And if you're not aware, we're up to about 35, 40 meals every Tuesday that he's delivering around the community. It is an awesome mission and awesome ministry, so thank you for highlighting that for us.
And if I might add, Ed did threaten us a few years ago that he said, when I turn 90, I'm done. He's turned 90.
He did warn us, but we are thankful. We are thankful for those who are stepping forward to continue the ministry as Ed retires from it. So thank you, Dale. Are there others who would like to share with us this morning? Well, all right, then we will take this moment. We have those that we've had shared with us, but we also know that there are those needs, those joys that we celebrate, as well as those concerns we carry with us in our hearts. So let us take a moment, and we'll lift them before our God in silent prayer. Lord, your blessings, they abound in our lives. We lift our voices in gratitude for each of these lovely gifts from you. Lord, today we celebrate the welcoming and dedication of another beautiful child into the community of believers. We are thankful for that opportunity. Help us to stay true to our commitment to raise them, to teach them, to help them make the choice for themselves to follow you when that time comes. Lord, we also lift our voices as our hearts cry out those concerns for those who are ill, who are mourning, who are feeling lost. We offer these, both our joys and our concerns, to you, because they are so often intermingled in our lives. Be with each of us, as well as those whom we have named, with our voices and in our hearts. Be with us and strengthen us, we pray. Heavenly Father, we know you have heard our cries and our shouts of joy. Make your presence known to us again through the love and forgiveness of others as we have loved and forgiven them. We are thankful for this day, for the chance to gather, to be with friends and loved ones, for the chance to once again hear your gentle yet strong voice speak to us. Remind us again that we are your beloved children. Remind us that we do not face this day alone. And as we have lifted these prayers individually, we now take a moment to lift our voices as one as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue our time of worship. I invite you to once again stand with me as you're able for hymn number 121. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Will you sing with me hymn number 121?
There's a wideness in God's mercy.
You may please be seated. As you are, I remind you that we take this moment each Sunday to offer our thanks, to offer our reminder of the goodness of God's blessings in our lives, and that we can be that same blessing to others. And part of the way we do that is through our tithes and offerings that we collect each Sunday. Dale took a moment to highlight his table meal. That meal has been going for 13 years. Every Tuesday night, we open the doors. Thank you, Craig. We open the doors and the people come in. They come to receive food, but I've learned in my 3 years here, they come just as importantly for fellowship, to feel as they're a part of a community with people who love them, who support them, who sing happy birthday when the day comes, who just celebrate life's ups and downs. So thank you for being a part of that ministry. Each of us are a part of that because we're a part of this church. We support our church through our tithes and offerings. And I remind you, we do have the offering box on the wall behind the organ here if you wish to leave a gift here today. We also have our online giving available at romeoumc.com. Let us take just a moment to offer this word of thanks and praise for our collection today. God of endless patience, we know that the sound of our complaining is not the music that pleases your ears. We complain about food that's not to our liking, that's under or overcooked. Yet you, God, you hear the growls of stomachs that have nothing to eat. We whine about a bed being too soft or too hard. Yet you see those whose bed is the sidewalk or the floor of a cell. Lord, may the offering we bring today be an act of praise that drowns out the noise of our complaining. May it find its way to bring comfort to your children who have little or nothing. And when that happens, may it be for a joy for your eyes to see, for your ears to hear, of another one of your children cared for. For we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is coming to us from Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 20. We'll hear verses 1 through 16. The laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as we're nearing the end of September here now, I've been checking in with some of the students and the kids about how their back-to-school experience has gone, asking them how the new school year is going, what they like, what they don't like. And in general, I get to hear about favorite classes, favorite teachers, the things that have been going good, and I also do hear about the things they don't like. And I bet you can probably guess the one thing I hear primarily that they don't like. Do you have a guess of what that might be? Homework, you got it. Without fail, I hear about that homework. Too much homework, too hard homework, whatever type of homework it might be. And this week, I had that conversation with another one of our students, and I heard that same comment. And I had a flashback to a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon, a comic strip from years back. So can you go ahead and put that first strip up there for us? There's my good buddy Calvin. And he's of a similar mindset to many of those students that I've been talking to. I can't believe it! Homework already? I just got back to school. I have to write a paragraph on what I did over the summer? A whole paragraph? Poor guy. I know we have some teachers out there. Can you imagine assigning a whole paragraph to your students? Wow. All right, go ahead. Put that next one up there for us as Calvin continues his lament. I'll never be able to write that much. It's not fair. Then go ahead, Everett, with that last slide. As he turns to his best buddy Hobbs, he asks, "How's it coming?" To which Hobbs replies, "Not so good. What did you do besides watch TV?" And the truth comes out. Perhaps the assignment is so hard. Perhaps Calvin's having a little regret over his choice of summer activities, what he did, how he spent that summer break. But that phrase he used in that panel, "It's not fair." How many of you have heard that at one time or another? Oh, someone's hand back there went up real quick. Maybe I'm a little more close to home. How many of you have said that at a time or another? Well, some same hands going up, some honest hands. Good. I'm going to assume that most of us have used it in one time, in one way or another during our lives. I know I hear it around our house on a fairly regular basis, normally because Brittany and I are being so unfair about something for our kids, something like brush your teeth or go to bed, you know, those really unfair things we make them do. But I just think there's something built into us as human beings, something that makes us identify the unfairness, the unjustness of a situation. That is, as long as we can identify that we're the one who the unfairness is happening to, the unjustness is happening to. Because that's the truth of the matter more often than not, isn't it? We aren't shouting, "It's not fair," if it's not fair to someone else. If I give one of my kids an extra scoop of ice cream, they're not going to complain about it. They're not going to say it's not fair. They're going to eat it as fast as they can so I can't take it away. But their siblings are going to let me know. They're going to cry out with those words, "It's not fair." And isn't that what we saw in Jesus' parable this morning, those laborers in the vineyard? Because who was it we heard from once they'd all received their pay? Who was it that came back to grumble against the landowner? It wasn't those who had only worked a short time who had gotten their pay. It was those who had worked a full day, been in the vineyard the whole day. Those who had been chosen first to work in the fields. Those who had bore the burden of a full day's work. They were the ones screaming, "This isn't fair." When I looked at it, I actually realized we don't really hear anything from any of the other workers, do we? Those hired at the end, we don't hear their response. We don't hear about their joy at receiving a full day's pay. We don't hear them even offer a word of appreciation or gratitude to the landowner. And I'm fairly certain I could write a whole sermon on that if I really wanted to, but I'm going in a different direction today. Because today I wanted us to take a moment to look at those grumblers, as they're identified in the scripture. Those who were shouting, "It's just not fair." To do so, though, I think we have to acknowledge that this whole setup that we see in this parable, it's a little foreign, it's a little odd to us here in 2023, isn't it? We don't really have a point of reference for how this situation came to be because this just isn't how we function in hiring workers anymore, is it? I mean, where were the resumes and the applications, the interviews, the background checks, the calling of references? What about the HR department? Where was their paperwork, the W-2s and all that fun stuff? We don't see any of that happen here. This concept of going out in the morning and just hiring laborers, hiring workers for the day, it's pretty foreign. It's not how we function. But I wanted to understand it. I wanted us to understand it. So I did a little research. I did a little digging this week because this was a common practice. Many workers were hired on an as-needed basis to do a specific task or work for the day's work. And those who didn't get hired that day, they didn't work. They didn't have anything to show for at the end of the day. They didn't have any money to put food on the table at the end of the day. And it's for this reason that I believe many of those workers were milling about throughout the day, why they were still there hours later, just hoping against hope that somebody would come and hire them for work, that they might have something to feed their families. But it was during this research, as I was looking into this practice of how they hired each other, how they hired workers, that something else really jumped out to me about it. Something so obvious, yet something I hadn't really considered when I was looking at the text. You see, it was explained that those laborers, they gathered every day in the town center at their designated spot. And those landowners who came for them, they came looking for workers. And what were they looking for? What do you think they would be looking for? They were looking for the most able, the strong, the big, the ones who would be capable of doing the work they wanted them to do, the ones who could do a full day's labor in the fields. And those individuals, they'd be hired first. They'd be the first ones selected each and every day. They would work day in and day out because they had the appearance of one who could do the job. They could do what was being asked. But the others, those who weren't quite as strong, those who had obvious injuries or other limitations, they would stand and just watch and wait and hope. Just hoping that their more able-bodied friends would be taken first, that someone would still come looking for them, still come with a job that they could do, somewhere that they could work for the day. And in reality, they may have sat in that town center often themselves saying, "This just isn't fair. If only I was a little stronger. If only I was a little bigger. If only my arm wasn't injured, I would have gotten picked. I would have been able to work today." And considering this, it made me look at this parable, approach this parable in a slightly different way. Because those laborers that were hired first, they felt entitled to more when the time came, didn't they? They felt they'd done more, they should have gotten more. They should have been compensated for their work. And in reality, though, they were chosen for that work, for the work of a full day, because they were able to do it. They were capable of working a full day. They were strong enough to work a full day. And when they were paid the same, those who had worked, they shouted, "It's not fair." Those who had worked that full day. Yet the landowner reminded them, "I have done you no wrong. This is what we agreed to. This is what I promised you. I've made good on my promise. Take your money and go." He paid them what he agreed to pay them. And it was his choice to pay the others the same amount. It was his choice to be generous to those other workers. And there's three groups of listeners that have heard this teaching over the years that I think I want to identify, that I wanted us to look at as we go today. The first would have been those who heard this teaching straight from Jesus' lips, those who were listening as it was preached in Matthew. It would have been his disciples. As Jesus was sharing this with them, I was wondering, what were their thoughts? How did they feel hearing these words? Because they certainly would have been among the first chosen, right? They were the first followers of Jesus. The more I thought about it this week, I thought perhaps they might feel a bit like a Detroit Lions fan these days. And when I say a Detroit Lions fan, I mean a fan who's been with the team for the past 30 years, the fan that's been watching this team for the past 30 years since that last playoff win in 91, the fans that remember the 0-16 season, the fans who have been through the difficult times. I see some heads nodding. You know what I'm talking about. You're those fans. But then all of a sudden, what happened this year? We got some momentum, don't we? We got some hope. We even think there might be greatness happening down at Ford Field. And now all of a sudden, everywhere I look, there's Honolulu Blue. It's coming out everywhere in Detroit. All those bandwagon fans hopping on the bandwagon here all of a sudden. Even those long-term fans maybe to grumble a little bit that I've been here through the hard days. I've been with this team through it all. I've bore the burden of watching a bad team for years. Perhaps the disciples were feeling a bit like those Jesus bandwagon fan, that those others were jumping on now. They'd been there since the beginning. They'd been with Jesus through thick and thin. But then there's the second group that I wanted us to recognize, and it would have been the early audience of Matthew's gospel. You see, Matthew's gospel is commonly held that it was written to the early Jewish Christian community, those people who had grown up with the Jewish customs, who had grown up as Jews, but had learned of Jesus, had heard his teaching, had started following Jesus' teaching. They too would have been among some of the first believers, maybe not quite as early as the disciples, but they were on the beginning edge of followers of Jesus. They were the front edge of believers. And then there's the final group that I need us to acknowledge, and that group is us, all of us that are followers and believers today, all who know the joy of having accepted Jesus into our hearts, of having that happen in our lives, who have proclaimed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because even though those three groups that I've just named were separated by a couple thousand years from beginning to end, all of us would be in the same grouping. When we look at it, we're all among those laborers that have been chosen by Jesus Christ. We're those laborers that were chosen in Jesus' parable. And I think that's why this teaching is so important, why it was important for the disciples, why it was important for the early church, that early Christian community, why it's important for us today. Because Jesus is teaching us, Jesus needs all of us to hear and learn that the kingdom of heaven is not a zero-sum proposition. My wages, my rewards, my relationship with God, it isn't impacted by yours. You're not taking something away from me by being in relationship with God, and I'm not taking something away from you. There is plenty of God to go around, plenty of God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness to go. It doesn't matter when or where or how. It doesn't matter how we found our way to Christ. What matters is that we found our way there. Because Jesus loves each of us. Each of us have been offered a portion of God's love and mercy and grace. And what is that portion? What is it that we've received? It's an unending. There is no end. The unending, unlimited, all-encompassing, generous portion of love and grace and forgiveness. And it's that same portion that's given to all of us. It doesn't matter when or how. It's given to each one of us now. It will be given to every follower who comes after us. And at the close of the parable, Jesus asked two questions. He proposed two questions. And they're written as the landowner asking the laborers, but really it could be Jesus asking us. He asked, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me?" And then he asked, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Are you envious because I am generous? I think if we really want to be honest, we probably have to answer yes to both of those questions. Because of course Jesus is free to choose and do with what he wants, with what is his, what belongs to him. But the harder pill to swallow is that yes, it does sometimes make us a little envious. We can be a little resentful of that generosity. We think we've worked longer or harder. We've been faithful. We've done it for you, God. Don't we deserve a little bit more? I've been faithful all my life. Where's my reward? And the simple answer is no. We don't deserve a little more or something extra. Because, in fact, if we step out of the parable, if we put this story into our own lives, we don't really deserve any of it, do we? Because no matter what we have done, no matter how hard we've worked, there is no way we could have ever earned our forgiveness, could have earned God's grace. We could never have paid the debt that Jesus Christ paid. Yet the good news is that that landowner, our Creator, God the Father, he loved us so much that he said, "I don't want that for you. I love you. I love all of you. And all I want is you. I want to be in relationship with you, to know you, to guide you, to have you live as my children. I have chosen you." And each one of us should celebrate that fact. We should also celebrate when he gets another one of our lost brothers or sisters to come home. We should celebrate that we have been given that grace and goodness in our lives. My friends, if we want to follow Christ's example, we have to live like it. Because what if we live that way? What if we shaped our lives? What if we shaped our world and the way it works and lived according to grace and generosity? How might it change the world and how we look at it? What might that world look like if it was overflowing with grace and generosity? Is it even possible? I don't know if it is. I don't have the answer to all those questions. But I do know one thing. I know that I would sure like to be a part of a church, be a part of a people who try to live that way. And it might require a different way of measuring, of not comparing, of setting aside jealousy and envy. It might mean at times we feel as though we are carrying the burden of the day, like we have too much placed on our shoulders, that heavy lifting, that difficult work is too much. But then we have to remember, we are doing so because God selected us, knowing that we are able, knowing that we can bear that burden. We can labor in the Lord's vineyard without feeling like we're owed something. We can enjoy the service and the connections that it brings into our lives, the relationships we can build through it. We can know the joy that is found in serving the Lord. Because as always, we have a choice. We can accept the way things are, the way the world tells us things are. We can go and get what is ours. We can go get our denarii. Or we can look to Christ. We can live like Christ. We can give like Christ. We can choose sacrificial love like Christ. We can choose to live a gracious and generous life. And we can do it all for the glory of God. Thanks be to God now and forever. Amen.
So let's all stand for our final song, if you're able. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let the truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is filled and the earth is filled with your glory.
Amen. Let us go from here as workers in God's kingdom, where the last are first and the first are last, where needs are met in miraculous ways, there is grace enough for all. May the blessing of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit surround you and sustain you in the coming days. Go in peace. Amen.